everybody. You're listening to a Radio Geekly. So I'm Jenna, and I am sitting here with Jess, and we're here to talk about, actually, our last episode. So if you listened to our last episode that was on February 3rd on the radio, you might have heard that our last segment was an interview with somebody who was talking about their event that was coming up, and the conversation kind of turned in a way that none of us expected. And it was something that surprised us, and we didn't end up addressing. And so we're going to address it right here in this special segment to kind of talk it out. So what we kind of wanted to talk about here today is to talk about what we did as a problem, what we did that was problematic on a Radio Geekly. What do we want to do? Justin, we want to just sort of talk about what that segment was?
Yeah, sure. So the individual came in and to talk about their event, and the conversation kind of asked about certain aspects of the event, and the term was used trans-ethnic, that they identified as a trans-ethnic person. I had not heard of that term, but Jenna, you have. And so in that moment, there was sort of a pause and kind of a trying to understand what's going on. Wow, this is a term that I'm not sure with about, and it actually is a racist comment.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we can kind of explain the term trans ethnicity or being trans ethnic. It's coming to our understanding, and from the research that we've had, is someone that identifies a different culture or adopts it as their own that is different than the one that they actually are. So as an example, expressing being Irish even though you aren't identified as an Irish person.
Very specifically that none of your ancestors, you're not actually biologically from this other place.
Right.
On air, our guests, you know, had identified themselves as trans-ethnic. They themselves admitted that they were not ethnically, biologically Irish, and that they had never really actually spent time there growing up or anything like that, but they felt that they were this other ethnicity on the inside. This term, trans-ethnic, if you feel like you've heard it before, it's because it made the headlines for a while. I want to say it was maybe like a year ago or maybe a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. There was a woman named Rachel Dolezal who ended up being a white woman who identified herself as a black person. And she ended up being like a local president of a local NAACP in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hugely controversial because Rachel Dolezal was saying that ethnicity was actually something that was not like an ancestral thing. And a lot of times when this debate about this term trans-ethnic came up or this concept of trans-ethnicity came up, one of the arguments that was constantly made was that trans-ethnicity is the same thing as being transgender. You know, with this idea that it's about identity, about like what you're individually born with.
Mm-hmm.
No, your ethnicity is really based on who were your grandparents, who were your great grandparents, where did you come from? So when we heard this term trans-ethnic happen on our show, it was really shocking because this is something you don't often hear.
Right.
Oh, and I want to do a quick aside to talk about this term trans-ethnicity real quick. In case people have also heard the term before, beyond the Rachel Dolezal, it is an actual term that is used that has been kind of appropriated by this movement of people who want to be other cultures that they're not. Trans-ethnic and trans-racial are actually used for people who we tend to think of overseas adoptions, such as like a family here in the United States who might say adopt somebody, say, for example, just like from Korea.
Okay.
Right. So you have somebody who was born into another culture but then came over here to the United States, doesn't have any connection to their original culture except biology, and
okay,
was maybe raised by a non-Korean family. And so that's where it's actually applied. It's not applied to people who are just decide one day that they just feel like being something else.
Right.
You know, so just there's a quick aside.
Yeah.
And so just to give a little more, I don't know, what happened on our live radio show was that we were actually playing a pre-produced segment like we do on our show. That was one that I had produced where I talked about why people who are not Japanese, like being a weeaboo or people, you know, who are Wapanese or people who just, you know, really love Japanese culture, why it's inappropriate for them to go to that point where they actually think of themselves as Japanese and to the point where they, like, just own kimonos to just wear them around and, like, don't really understand that that's cultural appropriation. So while this pre-produced segment of mine was playing, our guest was sitting there and listening to it, you know, waiting to go live on the air. And they basically spoke up and they said, well, what they said was, your segment doesn't take trans ethnic people into account. And that really shocked us. We were off the air and because we were just listening and we asked them to define trans ethnic. And they told us it was this, I'm Irish, but I'm not actually Irish. And I immediately thought of Rachel Dolezal. I immediately was like, literally in my head, I thought, oh, my God, we're getting Dolezal'd. Like, it was just what is going on?
The recorded piece ended, and the next portion of our show was to interview this person about their event. And so we took the liberty to try to focus mainly on their event and not try to bring up their personal viewpoints. But unfortunately, that did not happen.
Yeah, because they had to talk about part of their event was that they were going to be basically doing something Irish. And so then the way that they brought that up was, oh, yes, because I am trans ethnic and I am Irish. I understood what was being said when we first heard trans ethnic off the air. And I was actually really upset. I found it extremely offensive. Also because the guests made sure to tell me that they own kimonos. Right. As a reaction to hearing me saying, like, please don't wear kimonos.
And also, too, Jenna, for those that don't know you, that you identify as a person of color.
Yes, I am Japanese. I'm ethnically Japanese. And so it was very offensive to hear this person just be like, well, I don't care whether or not you think people should wear kimonos. This is what I do, and I'm proud of it. And so I was very reactionary. I was very triggered at that moment. And so the minute my audio went off, I just took off my headphones, and I literally left the studio, and I left you, Jess, and David Kesters to continue the interview. Mm-hmm. But what was problematic, I guess, for us here on Radio Geekly was that as soon as the trans ethnic thing came up, no one interrupted it. And no one said, like, whoa, that's super racist. Why are you talking about that? You didn't actually know that that was, like, an offensive thing because – I don't know. People never use that term, and it's so rare.
Right.
And there are so many questions about, well, what is it when, like, a white person is claiming to be another culture that is also still from white culture, mm-hmm. right? So there was a lot of questions of what is this, and I didn't speak up right away. So I'm definitely, like, I wasn't showing that I thought something offensive had happened because I just, you know, left the room without really explaining.
Right.
What was that like for you, Jess?
It was a little off-putting because I was basically going on my understanding of, wow, Jenna is upset because she physically left the studio.
So you could tell, like.
And there was something going on. And my thinking was I wanted to address this off the air because I didn't think on the air platform was going to be an appropriate place. And that's where I made the mistake. Mm. Instead of addressing it right offhand and saying, oh, sorry, listeners. Actually, one of our co-hosts just left because of something that was said by our guests. So we're going to actually end this conversation. We're going to be moving forward with our show. And we need to actually make sure that our co-host is okay. And I failed to do that. And David also failed to do that. And so that's why we're trying to bring this up now to make that better understanding of we're here to protect our community members and we're here to allow others to come into conversations, but we also have to be aware that if they are being offensive and being discriminatory, then we need to end it right at that moment. And to make people aware and possibly have a disclaimer that the opinions of on the air interviewees and possibly, you know, phone calls that come into our live studio radio show that they do not reflect the opinions of our collective and that they can be shut down when they are being discriminatory or offensive. And so with that, in that moment, I was basically processing the fact that you were feeling upset and I wasn't sure why, but I didn't feel like the on-air platform was the moment to address it. I wanted to address it off the air. And that's where my mistake was because I didn't take into account our listeners who some of them were people of color that were identifying with that and were possibly also triggered by it as well. Mm-hmm. And so to apologize for that, for not taking into account who was actually listening and the situation at hand, that it could have been handled much better.
What's problematic about the trans-ethnic thing with the Irish thing, and it's right. It's not to bash on this person too much, but it's to try to understand why this is problematic, mm-hmm. For a white person to even appropriate
another white culture,
why it's all sort of the same as a white person or another person appropriating another culture altogether is, for example, when we talk about Irish people, like, I know I really like Celtic music a lot. You know, a lot of geeks love Ren Faires and all that mm-hmm. stuff that a lot of times has a lot of Celtic stuff. There's one thing with appreciating Irish culture, but one thing that if you want to actually be Irish, if you were Irish, you would be inheriting multiple generations of trauma that comes with being Irish American in this country. So many Irish people came here not because they were really rich and they wanted to make an even better life. They came here because they were escaping poverty. They were literally escaping starvation yep. in their own country. And so people came here. They were poor. They were highly discriminated against. They weren't called white when they first came here. So, you know, they were oppressed as well. I don't want to imply that they were as oppressed as other people who have come here, but they came here because of escaping, and you know, they lost family members in that starvation. And then in addition to it, in more recent history, if you're an Irish person, you've had to deal with the fallout from you know, the Catholic Protestant wars that have mm-hmm. been having there, and what trauma that is to see that in your country, to see your fellow countrymen kill each other, to maybe lose friends or family.
Right.
So it's not enough to just say, I appreciate, you know, the beautiful things and the art and the food. When we're talking about what it is to inherit ethnicity, the one thing we can never really understand is what it is to be Irish, because so much of what it is to be another culture is about all the hardships your people have had to overcome and then where you are today as a result of those hardships, which is why we have concepts like white privilege and stuff like that, right? Because this is something that right. you inherited this from years and years and centuries of your people being given privilege. So,
exactly.
You know, it's something that was why when this all came out, I was like, wow, all this is a really problematic thing, because it's not just about what's pretty. You know, it's just like wearing the kimono thing. It's not just about what's pretty. When I wear a kimono, I think about how my family, you know, my relatives were banned from immigrating here because we wore kimonos and we looked scary and we wore this other language. And so that's part of my inheritance as an American. It's inheriting these traumas that have come down. And, you know, and every white American at some level has inherited that too from their own culture. And there needs to be recognition of that. So her not recognizing that was sad for me too.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, you don't even recognize your own history.
Right.
And if you can't recognize your own history, how are we supposed to expect you to understand the oppressions of others?
Exactly.
Oh, so problematic. Yeah. Honestly, when I walked out, I was still listening to the radio. And I thought, okay, well, they'll just talk about the event, but then it you know, turns into this conversation about trans ethnicity. I'm listening, actually, you know, in the hallway, and I hear this come up, and I just didn't know how to address it either, even though I wasn't in the studio, because honestly, I just kept thinking, oh my God, if I go in there, I'm just going to curse up a storm and be like, what is your problem? Mm-hmm. Because this wasn't just the normal sort of microaggression you hear. This was, like, really unusual. Mm-hmm. And it was really jarring to me, because if people don't know, the topic of our show that day was called POC Gatekeeping. It was part of our gatekeeping series. So it was really shocking to have somebody gatekeep me on the show about gatekeeping.
Right.
And then to have her go out on the air and then, like, because you didn't really understand what she was talking about, it ended up sounding like you were condoning what she was saying. And so it was like, oh, no, it's invalidating everybody's segment that came before that was saying, like, white people and need to not gatekeep over people of color. And so that was really upsetting, and I didn't know how to address all the complexity of it. So what actually ended up happening, my capacity, was to just write a note. I wrote a note, and this is where I think we went right in some senses, that I wrote a note to you that said, like, trans-ethnic is really racist to people of color, and this interview is problematic. I stuck that in front of you. I mean, so all this silently happened, you know, mm-hmm. on air, though, and you immediately stopped the interview. Like, it was just like, okay, and thank you for coming in, and we're moving on. Yeah. And so I think that was right in that sense of, like, what you did. I really appreciated that it wasn't like, well, we need to carry this out because that's what we said we did. Like,
right.
Once you knew something was wrong, even though we didn't know how to address it immediately, at least we stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
We wish we'd have just cut the mics.
Right.
And just told our engineer to just go to like a minute of music so that you guys could have asked me like, are you okay? And what's going on? Because
right.
nobody knew why I was upset.
Right.
No one knew if I left the room. But I feel like if we had had like 1 minute
mm-hmm.
to just be like, what's going on? I would have just been like, dude, trans-ethnic is racist.
Yeah.
And like, we need to at least address it and get the guests out of the room.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And so within our Radio Geekly Collective, one thing that I'm really so appreciative and proud of us for doing is giving ourselves permission to like, no, the show isn't what's so important. It's not about like getting through the show. What's important is our listeners.
Exactly.
And that we've given ourselves permission to be like, you know what? If the interview is going terribly, we're going to call it out and we're going to stop it. We've even talked about having a button, like a taboo button that goes like,
nope.
Yeah. Yeah, the nope button. That's just like,
nope.
Because we want you as our listeners to know that we're hearing this too, that
right.
we're hearing the oppression that is going out to you. Because if we're hearing it, then you're hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's so important is that we protect you, and not just like protect, but we address what's going on in our society. I just want to say I messed up to my listeners of color, and a lot of people are like, oh, Jenna, everybody freezes, you know, you can't know what's going to happen. But nonetheless, that stuff went out over the air while I was hosting a show, and so that's on me. And I literally that night went home and just practiced a bunch of sentences I can say so that I know them by rote. That's just like, well, that's some really, really problematic stuff going on the air now. We are going to be taking a music break right now because that was oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
Just like address the thing and move on. What?
Yeah.
How do you think you'll address it in the future, Jess?
Well, to also add to that, I also want to apologize for our listeners for not supporting our people of color and not being able to recognize that when someone leaves the room, that means it's a problem. And so things need to be said on the air in order to stop that. So I also am at fault for that. But I think in the future, too, if something happens like that, I want to get better at actually saying, well, that does seem highly problematic. So we're actually going to take a moment to speak about that, but not on the air or something to that effect. I need to actually practice better sentences and stuff, or maybe just even have a
oh, this is so problematic.
Yeah.
We need a minute to process that.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
Right.
Just something like that,
yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because I've been asking people like, well, if you heard it on the radio, would you shut that off to be like, oh, these people are so unprofessional, or what would you do? And everybody I've spoken to is like, I would freaking applaud and donate all my money to the membership drive and stuff.
Okay.
Because it would just be so awesome
mm-hmm.
to hear radio stations really like address like the human side of like, whoa, this is highly problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for our geeks that are listening, I like talking smack on geek culture. I don't know, because, you know, something we had to talk about in our collective is like we were saying, oh, well, this is an isolated incident. You know, you want to tell yourself this is an isolated incident. It's
but
never going to happen again.
It's
but
not.
We are in geek culture, which means
right.
we talked about how inherently problematic so much of geek culture is, because so much of geek culture has been built around appropriation, cultural appropriation,
oh,
and
yeah.
it's become so acceptable. I mean, when you go to Comic-Con, you have to put on like blinders if you don't want to feel offended. I mean,
right.
just misogyny and just racism,
mm-hmm.
transphobia. So, I mean, it's a definitely a much more diverse crowd than I'd say like general populations.
Right.
But there's so many highly problematic things that happen
yeah.
in geek culture.
Yeah. So I think with that too, Jenna, that we should be aware to address it in all situations,
mm-hmm.
not just our on-the-air segments, but when we do have our interviews with people, because we are going to be going to conventions, we are going to be going to events, we are going to be addressing people out in the public,
mm-hmm.
To be able to have that discernment of knowing, of like, no, actually, you can't talk about, you know, American women in terms of, like, thinking that they're the same as, like, Japanese cosplayers.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no comparison. Like, you can't do that. And to actually be strong and making people aware, because I think that's also a problem, too. From my understanding, it was like I had no awareness
yeah.
that it was an issue, and to be better educated and actually find out, you know, from people that are coming from differing perspectives, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like having that one-on-one conversation with you was great for me to actually learn, because it was like, I want to be an ally, you know, mm-hmm. as a person that identifies as white, even though I do have ethnic background, I was whitewashed growing up. So mm-hmm. My way of thinking was very one-sided. And so actually coming to that point of wanting to learn, but being able to stand beside you and actually like support you in those moments of feeling oppressed and feeling discriminated against is like, I feel like it would give people more empowerment to know mm-hmm. like, hey, people are not all on the same page as me. I want to have people understand where I'm coming from. But also on the same token, when they understand where I'm coming from, they can actually defend my side too.
Yeah.
And exactly. I think that's a big thing too, that is hard. And the conversations that I've had with others that they feel like they can't rely on allies like yeah. that because they're yeah. like, well, they don't understand.
Yeah.
They're just going to think of their own personal viewpoints and their own personal experiences and not care about what I have to say or what my feelings are. But I want to reach out also to our white listeners and say, that's not true. Like, you actually can have the capacity to be an ally
yeah.
for our people of color and to be able to like understand, but for a sake of like, this is an oppressive movement. Like, the people are feeling oppressed. Like, this is 2017, you know, and there's so much oppression going on still.
It's crazy. And, you know, the thing is, okay, let's be KBOO here. Let's talk about the fascist state we're living in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're geeks who are not going to just lay down. You know, we're going to be the geeks who write the comic books that fight the Nazis and all that stuff. And so if you want to be part of that, you have to decide that you have to learn about other people's oppressions.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so with that, I think we can say that we are apologizing for what happened, but yeah. we are growing from it. And we encourage our listeners to also want to engage in our conversation, too, because mm-hmm. I'm sure that there are stories out there of people feeling oppressed and not having a voice to actually talk about that. And so I want us to be a platform so those people's voices can be heard. So please feel free to like us on Facebook, you know, send us a tweet or just any kind of like resources or things that you're feeling like, hey, I wish you guys can talk about this in geek culture because this also can seem problematic. Let's address more of the comic book stories that aren't, you know, the Superman and Batman comics, you know, that are mm-hmm. that are ones that are being made by people of color, that are being made yeah. by women, that actually address real life issues. Because I'm going on a tangent here, but with comics, when they first were created, they were actually given like stories for like wartime to like take people out of real life mm-hmm. and to like bring on this like adventure and fantasy and like they can escape from the real world. And now I think comics are kind of more flipped on its side. It's like now they're actually addressing things that are really happening in the yeah. world. Like it's not just this fantasy adventure story. It's actually something that is being addressed to people that are feeling these emotions yeah. and feeling oppressed. And so I just want to encourage everybody to continue to have your voice heard. You know, we are open as a collective to welcome those ideas and those opinions, but at the same time recognizing that oppressions are hurtful and they can be damaging to people. And so being aware of stopping that and recognizing it right away before it becomes a bigger issue.
Maybe this is just the last thing. We keep saying this is the last thing, but whatever. it's just to recognize that they're hurtful to the people who hear them, but also if we allow those things to go out on the air like we did this last time, something to really recognize is that it's not just like, oh, that's offensive. It plays into the idea, you know, that cultural appropriation is okay. And ultimately, racism ultimately is what leads to violence against people of color. Mm-hmm. And so that's, even though it's like, oh, well, what is so problematic about somebody saying they like to, like, I don't know, sing Irish music and think that they're Irish. It's like, well, it's not that that person so much is like a violent, problematic person, but it fuels all those ideas mm-hmm. that allow people of color to like be erased either through culturally erasing them or through literal violence that just says, well, you aren't important enough for us to care about your human rights, your right to live, you know? I mean, I think that's what we see in movements like Black Lives Matter. It's not just, please don't offend people. We're here to defend our lives, right, is what that movement is saying. So we recognize that. That's why we decided to do this whole separate thing, is like, this is not a small thing when we allow things to go in there, because this really actually contributes to the oppression of other people. And so, you know, we think it's important to call it out. And then we don't always come up perfect, but we will try, because our listeners' lives are worth it. And we just really hope, once again, that, you know, you listeners here on Radio Geekly, our KBOO listeners, we're sorry. We're sorry that we
messed up.
We messed up, but help keep us accountable, you know, engage in that conversation, because the conversation can only get richer by including your voice. So thanks for listening, and we hope we can bring you even better programming in our next episode.
Thanks.